And they're looking to concentrate on boys from age 10 to 14, but I'm quite sure that any age level will be fine for that. And there's some boxes that are out in the foyer, but if there's not that many there right now, but there are more boxes that will be coming. Three exciting women's programs are coming up in the next few weeks. Ticket prices and contact information will be on the bulletin board out front foyer. They have a group going to Girls Night Out. You need to let Kathy, Sandy, and Wilma know if you want to go with that. That's just for the women, of course. The World Women of the World One-Day Conference, Sandman Inn in Lethbridge, October the 13th. Fresh Wind Women's Conference at the Sheridan Hotel in Red Deer, and that's on October the 19th to the 21st. Girls Night Out, Fun, Faith, and Fellowship in Airdrie on November the 7th, and that's Living Springs Christian Fellowship. Flu Clinic is October the 19th, and that's at the Golden Silver, and I'll be from 9:30 to 3:30. And if there's a list out in the foyer on the bulletin board there for all of the dates for all of the other flu clinics. Are you working at that one on the 19th? My wife can stab you if you want to go get flu shots on the 19th. And she's good at it. She's not going to stab me. Our chairman, Bill, has an announcement. Okay.
Good morning, everyone. The Operation Christmas Child Processing Center, we're going down with two groups of us and hoping that anyone who wants to join us can come. It's a very nice afternoon. We take the boxes, we go through them, make sure that everything's okay, the boxes are full enough, and then we put them in the bigger boxes for processing for sending away. So I have two dates in which we are going down. Tuesday evening from 7 till 9:30, and on November 27th, and on November 28th, Wednesday afternoon, from 12:30 till 3 o'clock. And anyone who wants to join us, please let me know. I'll put your name on the list, and we'll get a carpool to go down. And it's an awful lot of fun. It's a very rewarding afternoon or evening. Thank you.
It's not your birthday, dear. No. Dan, want to join us?
Are you going to do a speech?
Oh, yes.
You sing with me, Sol? Good morning, everyone. If you might have noticed, my wife's eyes were a little wider this morning than mine. We got up this morning first thing and looked out our window, and we had a 200-pound cougar sitting in our front yard. So we, our adrenaline's been a little going this morning here. So anyways, yeah, that's the reason for the big eyes this morning. This morning, I just joined here by my assistant, Sophie, and you might want to know the reason being that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And certainly we did not want to let that pass, and Sophie graciously honored me by being up here to help me in my little do for you. So, on behalf of our whole congregation, I would like to start by saying how much we appreciate both you, Ian and Iris, and not just because it's October. The Lord has truly blessed this congregation, especially when it comes to the two of you as our spiritual leaders. Everyone here has been touched by your love, be it through a sermon, a hug, a warm greeting, a smile, or a visit, and the list goes on and on. Sometimes words inadequately express our feelings of gratitude, love, appreciation that we have for the both of you. Ian and Iris, we want you to know that we truly love you both. As a congregation, we will continue to pray that our Lord will bless you both. I found a poem this week that I thought would adequately fit in for the message this morning, and I just wanted to read it to you, share it with you. It's to our pastor. Our God has sent you to this place to lead us on the way, that he would have us work and think and live from day to day. No matter the hour, whatever the need, you go the extra mile, always ready and willing to share a comforting thought and smile. We're grateful that you're here with us to teach us from his word and we will try to do our best in service of our Lord. We thank you for your ministry, your guidance, and your care. His greatest blessings for your life is our most humble prayer. And we thank you so much. And now I'm going to turn it over to my assistant, Sophie, because Sophie would like to say a few things to you as well. So.
Thank you for being such a great pastor.
Wow.
Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you.
Come here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
That's the longest speech Iris has ever made in church. Well, thank you. That is, that's right out of the blue. I like to prepare my talks. I've got nothing prepared. I've actually been the pastor of this church for 10 years. You know, when you think 10 years, hasn't that gone by quickly? You know, it doesn't seem 10 years since Frank was our minister and he was up here and I was given the privilege of taking over from him. And those 10 years have been 10 beautiful years. Our church has developed, our church family has grown and developed, and the love within this church family is just wonderful. It's great to be part of it, not just for Iris and I, but for all of us. I'm sure we all feel the same. It's a joy and a privilege to be part and sharing in God's love among such a wonderful family of God. And we just all love each other. We love the Lord and we share his love and we rejoice in it. And he will bless each and every one of us by being here today. Are you done, Dan?
I'm done.
That'll be the day. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. I have chosen as our call to worship this morning a verse from the epistle reading from Hebrews, and it's to me it's such a significant verse, and it is Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And you go, wow. Pat, please lead us in our approach choruses. Thank you.
So this morning, I've picked three songs out of the Red Book. And what I've done is I've created like a little medley thing. Hopefully this works. And so we're going to start with As We Gather. We're going to sing that once. And we're going to go right into The Steadfast Love of the Lord. We're going to sing that twice. Then we're going to go right into Seek Ye First. And there's three verses of that. And then we're going to go back to As We Gather. And I'll just keep on singing. Even if I stop playing, I'll just keep on singing. So just keep on singing. So if you would stand with me, please. And hopefully Grant can keep up with us. As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may you glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Great is your faithfulness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man cannot live by bread alone. Da, 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 begin to worship. We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we
wasn't that nice? What's that noise? Wasn't that nice? Thank you, Pat. That was beautiful. That was just so nice, leading us into our worship this morning. So now shall we bow our heads and join together in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, the words "wasn't that nice" are often on our lips as we come into this, your holy place, to worship you. Because we find, Lord, that every aspect of our worship service, as our time of devotion, is so nice to us, Lord. It is wonderful. It makes us feel good. And it makes us feel good, Lord, because we know that you are right here with us. We feel your presence. We see your presence, Lord, shining from the faces of all whom we meet as we come to worship. We feel your presence, Lord, in the handshakes, in the hugs, in every aspect of this coming together. And we thank you, Father. And so as we come together to worship you, Lord, we come because we seek to lift high the name of Jesus, the name of our Lord and our Savior, the name which is above every name. And we come, gracious Father, because we know when we come here that you have called us. You have called us here for a reason, for a purpose. And we know, Lord, that when we are here, that you will open our hearts, that you will open our minds, and that you will speak your precious word to each and every one of us. Bless us as we worship, Lord. We worship in the name of Jesus. And we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading this morning comes from Job chapter 23, verses 1 to 9, and then 16 to 17. This is when Job finds some confidence that God's going to hear him. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy in spite of my groaning. If only I knew where to find him, if only I could go to his dwelling. I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would find out what he would answer me and consider what he would say to me. Would he vigorously oppose me? No, he would not press charges against me. There the upright can establish their innocence before him, and there I would be delivered forever from my judge. But if I go to the east, he is not there. If I go to the west, I do not find him. When he is at work in the north, I do not see him, and when he turns to the south, I catch no glimpse of him. God has made my heart faint, and the Almighty has terrified me. Yet I am not silenced by the darkness, by the thick darkness that covers my face." Join me now in the responsive reading. This comes from Psalm 22, verses 1 to 5 and 27 to 31. And you'll recognize the first part of it. And it is sort of it's an ancient lament of people that were seeking whilst they were in adversity. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest." To you they cried out and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him. Those who cannot keep themselves alive, posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. Proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it.
You would recognize the opening stanza of that psalm that we used for our responsive reading, because those were the words of Christ when he was on the cross, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it kind of sounds like he feels deserted. But of course that psalm builds up to where the Lord actually comes to the rescue and does reach out and save those who are crying out to him. And so that's the context of what Dan was telling you there, that it is an ancient lament of a people who are seeking God when they are in adversity. And that's where it came from. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he cried out on the cross. Marion is sitting at the piano. Peter is sitting at the organ. Our special music today is presented by these two great people. Marion was quite upset with me because the bulletin just said Marion. And she said it should say Peter as well. But when Michelle and I did the bulletin, we didn't know that. So we welcome Marion and Peter for our special music this morning. Thank you. Thank you. wasn't that nice? Thank you, Marion. Thank you, Peter. That was beautiful. We appreciate your music. Thank you so much. Your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your grace and for your mercy to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, and we bring these our gifts. They are but humble tokens of our gratitude. We ask you, Lord, to take these gifts, and we ask you, Lord, to take the givers, and we ask you, Lord, to perform mighty miracles in the extension of your kingdom here on earth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Good morning. It's nice to see you all. Who knows what the title is of the children's story this morning? Did anybody see it in the bulletin? Anybody know what it said? It's called The Golden Man. The Golden Man. Now then, it's not a James Bond story. You won't know what I'm talking about there, but you will. It's about a man who loved gold. He just loved gold. And he couldn't believe his luck because one of his relatives died and left him a fortune. Lots and lots of money. And because he loved gold, he went, whoa, this is great. This is great. So out he went and he started to buy all kinds of golden things. Now the first thing he bought was a pair of golden pajamas. Golden pajamas. And he thought, I can sleep in these. And then he thought, oh, I need some gold covers for my bed. So he got some golden sheets and some golden blankets and golden everything. And his bed was all gold. Now what colour do you think he should decorate his bedroom? Right. Have you heard this before? No. Gold. So he put golden wallpaper on his bedroom and throughout his whole house. What else do you think he should do to change things to gold? Can you think of anything else? The lamp. Yeah, the lamp in his bedroom. It was a gold shade on it. And it glowed gold. And everything in his house was gold. Now then, unfortunately, it doesn't matter how rich you are, sometimes people get sick. And he got sick. And you'll never get what, guess what he caught? He caught yellow jaundice. What colour do you think your skin goes when you get yellow jaundice? That's right, it was all yellow. And his wife called for the doctor. And the doctor came round to see him. And she says to the wife, well, where is he? She says, he's upstairs in his bedroom. He says, well, I'll just go up and examine him. So the doctor went up there. And he was gone for ages. Ages and ages. And eventually when he came back down, his wife said, well, what do you think? And he says, I don't know. I couldn't find him. Why do you think he couldn't find him? Because he was the same colour as everything, wasn't he? He was yellow. And that's just a silly little story, really. But our story from the scriptures today, Jesus teaches us that we should never get lost in our possessions. And that's what he did, really, because he made everything golden and yellow, and he got lost in his possessions. But Jesus says we can do that. We can think more about our things, about our toys and our games and our everything we own. We can think more about that than we do about what we should be doing, and that's caring for people. And Jesus says that's what we've got to try and remember at all times, that we are not here to get lost in our possessions, in the things that we like to own, but we should be lost in God. Shall we say a little prayer? We thank you, Lord, for loving us as you love us. And we know, Lord, that we can always get lost in you, but we should never get lost in our possessions. Bless us, Lord, as we go to Sunday school. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Sunday school is where you're now going. Thank you.
Was that Georgia with a great black eye? I guess she got in a fight. There we go. This hymn we're going to sing, 573, God of Our Fathers. When I chose this hymn, I chose it because of the words and how they fit in with the scriptures and what have you today. And when I listened to the tune, I wasn't familiar with it. So I put in there that we'll sing it to this other tune, 419. But when I talk to Peggy, and Peggy says, oh, no, 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 we know that proper tune. We'll sing the proper tune. I says, you're the boss of the music. So ignore that comment in there that the tune is 419, because it isn't. We're going to stand and sing to God's glory, hymn 573, verses 1, 2, and 4. We sing to God's glory.
Thank you.
I still don't know that tune. Seemed very religious, that tune to me. But there you go. We come to our time of prayer. I just want to remind you of our call to worship, which was, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I think that verse is very meaningful because everything is uncovered before God. God knows what's going on in our lives. He knows what our needs are. He knows of our circumstances, and He knows what's going on in our lives, and He knows what's worrying us and what's troubling us, because He sees all things. And all He waits for is for us to go to Him in prayer and to talk to Him and share with Him. You know how good you feel if your kids ever came to you and shared a problem. Would that ever to happen? But if, when your kids come to you and they share something with you, you feel good because they are confiding in you. And as the parent, you know, you're reaching out to them. You want to reach out to them. You love them and you want to help them all you can. And this is God. This is God's attitude to us. He loves us so much. He created us. He made us and He cares for us. And He knows what we need. And He needs us to talk to Him. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator of all things, our Father in heaven, our Father right here with us. Lord, You have cared for this earth and You have filled it with Your riches. Abundance flows through the hills and the valleys, through the pastures, through the wilderness. You provide for our land, softening it with showers, bathing it in light, and blessing it with growth. The hills sing with joy, the meadows are covered with flocks and herds, and the fields deck themselves with wheat. And together, this whole earth glorifies Your name. We thank You, Lord God, for our freedoms and for the opportunities that we have to contribute our skills and our talents and our values towards the good of society, towards the good of our fellow men and women. We thank You, Father, for the mixture of our cultures, blending us into one people of God. Father, we pray that You will strengthen us and enlighten us, that we might be a light unto other nations and to further the cause of freedom and justice all over the world. And when we think of our world, Lord, when we reflect on the busyness of our world and the busyness of our lives, we thank You, Father, because You lead us beside the still waters. And You give us these precious moments and You restore our souls. We remember all of those people, Father, who are less fortunate than we are. We lift up in prayer the victims of poverty and racism and all those who suffer from forms of political and economic oppression. May the word that goes forth from our mouths speak of Your peace, Lord. Let us proclaim our hope in Christ as a Saviour of all people. And when we have come into Your house this day, Lord, each of us come with people sitting in our hearts, people who we care about, people who we worry about, people who we know are being battered around by the storms of life, with sickness, with ill health, with the circumstances they find themselves in. And we know, Lord, that these are all Your children.
that you are aware of what's going on in their lives and you care about them. And so, Holy Father, in the silence of this holy place, as we whisper their names, we pray, Lord, that you will hear them and that you will reach out and that you will touch their lives. We pray in silence. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless all of those who gather to worship you on this day. We ask you to bless each of us, Lord, in our church family here. Bless us, Lord, and bless our homes and our families. And we pray and we ask, Lord, that you will grant each of them your blessed peace. Grant us your guidance, Lord, and empower us for your work. For we claim nothing for ourselves, but return all honor and glory unto you. And we offer to you, Lord, our thanksgiving and our praise. We ask you, Lord God, to hear our prayers, both the spoken and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. For we bring all of them to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. We listen now to the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Our readings this morning, our first one comes from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 to 31. And it's where Jesus speaks to the rich young ruler who comes with questions about getting into the kingdom of God. And to me, it is also a challenge to every one of his followers in terms of what is required of it. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You must know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor thy father and thy mother." Teacher declared, "All of these I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With a man this is impossible, not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Our second reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. And as Ian has noted, it speaks to the all great power of God, you know, what he knows of us and what he observes in our lives. "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before his eyes, to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with every confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Our appreciation to Bill for those readings from the Scriptures. Thank you, Bill. And now we stand and we sing to the glory of God that great old hymn, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Let's sing to God's glory. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be perfectly acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. John Shea is a professor of theology at the Loyola University of Chicago. And he shares with us a story about the powerful instinct within us to possess things. He had just finished speaking in Oklahoma City, and people were coming up to him afterwards, and they were talking to him and asking him questions, when he was approached by an elderly Native American gentleman who just stood right in front of him. And he held out a large, elaborate belt buckle. Please accept this gift, he said. John Shea was taken aback by this. Thank you, he said. It is beautiful, but I cannot accept it. Why not? The man answered with a puzzled look on his face. And John Shea said, he says, I pointed to my ever-expanding middle section, and he said, I don't want to draw any attention to this, and that beautiful belt buckle of yours will do just that. And he says, I laughed. But he said, the man did not smile. He again extended his gift, and he said, please accept this. And John said, I said to him, it's too expensive. And he says, this belt buckle was handcrafted, and it had a look of beauty and elegance about it. And at this, the man said, you know, you can always give it away to someone else. And John said, I accepted the belt buckle. It never seems to occur to us that the things of this earth are not meant for us to hold on to, but to be given away. And this is the point of today's scripture when we read about the rich young ruler. A man ran up to Jesus and he fell on his knees before him. St. Mark tells us that this man was rich. Matthew tells us that this man was young. And Luke tells us that he was a ruler. And so we get the three all put together, and he's referred to as the rich young ruler. And this is the only story that Mark tells us about a person who refuses to follow Jesus. And for that reason alone, we really should sit up and take notice, because it means that this man's reason for excusing himself is likely to be the same reason that many, many people give today in this world for any lack of commitment to Christ. The man, the rich young ruler, approaches Jesus with a question. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And it's a question that reveals a lot about this man, and Jesus knows it, which is why Jesus responded in the way that he did. Now remember, this is a man who can afford the luxury of asking questions about the good life to come, because he doesn't have any worries at all about the life he already has. He is secure in the knowledge that he has just about everything that he wants. He simply wants to know how he can deserve more. You heard me right. Deserve more. What must I do, he said, to inherit eternal life? And the interesting word here is inherit. The root for this word in Greek means as we inherit like a piece of land or some property. This rich young ruler simply assumes that eternal life is something that he can acquire in the same way that he has acquired his wealth, by inheriting it. It is the way we begin to think when we become possessed by the things that we possess. The more I have, the more I deserve, therefore I deserve to have even more. It's a way of thinking that you get into when you are possessed by your possessions. And this is where Jesus stops this young man dead in his tracks. And I want you to take careful notice of what Jesus said when he replied. Jesus says, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And on first reading, this seems like a very conventional thing for Jesus to do. He's quoting the manual. Here's what the book says. But listen again, because Jesus actually makes one very subtle change to one of the commandments, and he edits one of the commandments to fit this individual rich young ruler. You know the commandments, Jesus said. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Do you see the change? You see the change that Jesus made? It's very subtle. In the original Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, commandment number 9 says, do not covet. Do not covet. And Jesus says to this man, do not defraud. Now, why would Jesus want to do something like that? We know Jesus is God and these are God's commandments and he can do what he wants with them. But why did Jesus do this? Why did he change it to do not defraud? Remember the man's question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This young man, we assume, would no doubt have inherited most of what he owned. And since what made most people rich in those days was owning land and owning property, we can assume that when Mark says he had many possessions, he means he had a lot of land, he had a lot of property, he had a lot of things. And wealthy landowners in those days became more wealthy by acquiring the land of their debt-defaulting neighbours or by any other devious means. But they acquired things always at the expense of other people. And so we can see it's no accident that Jesus has edited the commandment for this man's benefit. In our epistle reading, let me read it again. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Jesus knows why and he knows how this man became wealthy. And he wants the man to know what he must do to make things right again before God. He must give back the things that do not belong to him. The things that he has defrauded from other people. But the man misses Jesus' challenge first time round. You remember, he claims to have obeyed all of these laws, including the edited version of thou shalt not covet, defraud. And I love this next bit. It says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus looked at him and loved him. It's the way he looks at you and I. Doesn't matter what we've done. He loves us. And he says, there is one thing that you lack. Go and sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. He's telling the man to dismantle the system that has made him rich at the expense of others. And at this, the man's face fell and he went away sad because he had many possessions. Jesus is telling us that by letting go of the things that obsess us and the things that consume us, we will discover freedom. Real freedom. And then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were amazed at his words. They were amazed at his words. Why were they amazed? Why were they amazed at Jesus saying this? Well, in the Hebrew tradition, it is only wealthy people who have time to sit and read the scriptures and pray. Remember Fiddler on the Roof? You remember Fiddler on the Roof? Tevye, he sings this. I'm not going to sing it, sorry, but I'll read it. This is what he sings. If I were a rich man, I'd have the time that I lack to sit in the synagogue and pray. And maybe have a seat by the eastern wall, and I discuss the learned books with the holy men 7 hours every day. And that would be the sweetest things of all. These were the kind of things that only the rich could do. Only the rich could do these things. If I were a rich... No. The rich were considered in the Hebrew tradition to be blessed by God. And so the disciples were not only amazed by Jesus' words about this rich young ruler, but they were shocked. They were shocked by his words because it was against everything that they had grown up with, everything that they had been taught. But the way it worked back then doesn't seem to be the way it works today, because today the more stuff, the more possessions that people have, they seem to have less time for God, less time for attending church. They need to play with their toys and their possessions and their games. This is a tough teaching of Jesus, but there it is. He says it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Doesn't that sound crazy? Doesn't it sound stupid? But not in Jesus' day. The way they would understand it was, it's totally impossible for us to think in terms of a camel going through the eye of a needle. But in Jesus' meaning, it was possible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The main gate to any walled city was huge, had a great big gate. And this big gate wasn't open all the time. Most of the time it was closed. And inside the big gate there was a small gate, and it was called the eye of a needle. Little gate. And yes, a camel could go through the eye of a needle if it shed all of its burdens and if it got down on its knees. Then a camel could go through the eye of a needle. That was the only way it could do it. And so do you start to get the picture of what Jesus is saying here in this scripture reading from Mark? The message that Jesus is conveying? Money, possessions are a big deal in our lives, and God knows that. He knows everything. And he knows that our money and our possessions are a big deal. He knows that we like nice things and we like new things and we like up-to-date things. And to get nice things, we need money. But possessions are not, it's not only money, not only things. It's also attitudes, it's also prejudices, it's values. And Jesus is warning us that if any of our possessions take over our whole being, then we are in big trouble. They will become the focal point of our living and not worshipping God, and that is when we're in trouble. And the point that we must take from what Jesus is saying here is that God must come first. God must come first. And even if you are a rich man, you can get in. You can go through the eye of a needle if you go in the right way. Rich can get in. God first. And if we retain that fact first and foremost in our minds, then we will have the right attitude towards our possessions and towards our neighbours and our friends and our communities. Finally, a story about Clarence Bunsen, as told by Garrison Keillor. Clarence is sitting in church and his mind is far away. That's never happened to you, has it? No. His mind is far away when he suddenly realizes that it's almost time for the offering. And he quietly reaches for his wallet and he discovers that he's got no cash. So he takes out his pen and he takes out his checkbook and he starts to scratch out a check. And he's got this checkbook squeezed in between the pew Bible. And he's trying to write it without anybody seeing him. And then he realizes that the lady who's sitting next to him is watching him. And he thinks, she thinks I'm writing in the Bible. So he tries to write the check without looking. just glancing quickly, and he thinks to himself, whew, people will see this check. I better make it a good one. So he thinks, I'll give $150. And he's trying not to be too obvious in what he's doing, but this lady can see him. And so, again, he tries to cover it up. And then he tries to quietly tear the check out of the checkbook. Checks do not come quietly out of a checkbook. Not when you're in church. And he tries to quietly rip the check out of the checkbook, so this lady won't realize what he's doing. And the offertory plate comes in, and he proudly puts his check in the plate, only to realize to his horror that he has accidentally written a check not for $150, but for $1,500. As he tried to sneakily write it, he put a zero on the end there that shouldn't have been there. So what's he going to do about it? After the service, he thinks, well, I could go to the guys downstairs who are counting the money and say, look, guys, I made a mistake or anything. Oh, gee, no one would do that. So what could he do? He'd used everything in his checking account and a bit more with this check that he had accidentally given to the church. But when he came to terms with his inadvertent generosity, he said, for the first time in a long time, he felt really good. He felt alive. He had actually given God something which had cost him. And because of it, he felt good, even though he did it by default. The rich young ruler chose his possessions and his lifestyle before his mortal soul, rather than put God first in his life. It is only when we do put God first that we experience life, real life as God intends it to be for us, coming alive to God in God's world amongst God's people. When you find yourself drifting from your discipleship of Christ, think about that young man who couldn't follow Christ and why he couldn't follow Christ. And take a look at your life and see what is possessing your life, because it is something other than God. Take control of your life. Control everything about your life, your finances, your possessions, your worship, your desires. And remember, God comes first. Good opening chorus part. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Excellent. Thanks be to God. Amen. And so for our closing hymns, first we stand, sing to God's glory, hymn 439, Cleanse Me. to be God's people. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all and all whom we love this day and forevermore. How are you doing?